sunshine for. You dwells between the cherubim, shine for. You dwells between the cherubim, shine for. You dwells between the cherubim, shine for.
First John chapter 1. There's so much more in. There's much more that God has desired for us to come into in way of understanding that there are things that are still hidden. You know, the Bible says that it's the, I think it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, right? And it's the honor of kings to reveal them. That's the main activity of our lives, really, is to daily seek to unveil what God has hidden. Right? There are things hidden, there are treasures that God has hidden. And through the scripture, the Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, that all scripture is given by what? By the inspiration of God, right? And it's profitable for reproof, correction, for doctrine, and for instruction in righteousness. So it's impossible to have righteousness without being instructed by the scriptures. So righteousness means being right before God. We can't come to that place unless the righteousness has been revealed to us. In Romans chapter 1, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So the gospel contains the revelation of the righteousness of God. God himself says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. But in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed. And through all these men, the apostles that wrote the books of the Bible, Paul, John, Jude, Peter, the Bible says when they were writing that the Holy Spirit came upon them, right? And all scripture is given by that inspiration. So when they were writing, the Spirit of God, the Lord, came upon them. And they wrote. The Bible says in the book of 1st and 2nd Peter that holy men wrote, right? Said no prophecy of scripture is capable of private interpretation. It means that there are no things that you can just, an unbeliever can just take the Bible and just by himself just discover the real content of it. That's why in schools and universities these days, there are departments of theology, you know, where people study the scripture, they study the Bible, they can tell you everything that's in it from their understanding. But the Bible says that there are those who will be ever learning but can never come to the knowledge of the truth. The fact that we are reading the verses doesn't mean you are really gaining access to the knowledge that that verse is supposed to give. Because these verses are actually veils and they are keys as well. And they are supposed to give access to the real word. The real word is the spirit. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The real word of God is in the spirit, but they gave us roadmaps through the scripture that as we read them, when we are reading them and we are communing, that's why the wine of the spirit is very important. The amount of the wine of the spirit you have will determine how much you can gain out of the scripture. Because if you don't have the wine of the Spirit, you will only read the letter, but the letter kills. The Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so, it said, the words I speak to you are Spirit and life. To get to the life content of the word, you need the Spirit to bring that life out of the word. So the same Spirit that was upon Paul and John and Peter when they were writing the word, That same spirit has to be in you to bring out the real content. Because no man knoweth the things of God. The Bible is an archive of things of God. But no man can know them except by the Spirit of God that is in him. So when that Spirit of God is the measure of the Spirit you have in you, by that measure, that's how you take, praise the Lord, out of the content of the spiritual word of God. Hallelujah. And now this understanding of the word, what the word of God really is, and the purpose of the word. I don't think there was anyone who wrote about it as clearly as John did. Amen. Mm-hmm. So just briefly, we'll just look at what John said here from 1 John chapter 1. Now John said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, amen, mm-hmm. which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Okay, so he's speaking about different levels of encounter with the word. So there are different levels. There's a level of hearing, then there's a level where you now begin to see it. Amen. So if he's saying that you are seeing something, and he's talking of the word, it means that it's not his natural eyes. Amen. Because your natural eyes can't see the word. He wasn't saying that, okay, we read the word. He's not speaking of scrolls, of books. He said that which was from the beginning. There's no book that was from the beginning. So it means he's talking of something different here, something eternal. He's speaking of the real word of God. That word here was a Greek word, logos. Amen. That's the same word that was used in John 1, where John said, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the logos. Amen. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So we first heard it. There's a place where you begin to hear the word. Hallelujah. You just begin to hear it. You begin to hear. That hearing is the hearing of your soul. Not these ears, but hearing. There's a place where the soul hears the word. Hallelujah. That's one level. Then you now move to another level where you begin to see what you're hearing. That sight is the sight of the eyes of your understanding. When you're beginning to see it, it means that you're beginning to form an image of what the word is. Hallelujah. And that which we have looked upon. So it's looking upon is beyond just seeing the word. So it's not just flashes of images of the word here and there. Maybe when you are in fellowship or you are praying or something. You know, there are ways you have flashes of the word in your heart. But when you get to a place where you are looking upon it, means your heart has come to a place of stability where you are able to have a continuous gaze on the word. And all of these are function of how much of the Spirit. Remember, every encounter you have with the word has to do with the measure of the Spirit that unveils that word to you. Praise the Lord. So the more full of the Spirit you are, the mark of fullness of the Spirit is not how much miracles and stuff you can do. You can, the Bible says you can, you know, do all manner of things. Even before Jesus Christ came, there were miracle workers on the earth. Jesus did not even do as much miracles as some of the fathers of Israel did. That's why when Jesus Christ came and he fed them one day with bread and all that, the Pharisees were removed. What have you done? You haven't done anything. Our father Moses fed us for how many years? 40 years with manna from heaven. So who are you? That's why his miracles didn't move them. What have you done? You just fed, you know, that's a small thing. Those Jews have seen signs, their whole history, their whole legacy were legacy of great acts of God. Praise the Lord. But there's difference between the acts of God and the ways of God. God says, my acts have I shown the people of Israel, But unto Moses I showed my ways too. The ways of God, it doesn't have to do with his an outward show of power. The ways means what is in his heart. How does he arrive at conclusions? How does he judge? How does he behave? What's his character? Praise the Lord. Those are the ways of God. Amen. So, the more anointed you are, how I know you have the anointing of God. Not just the anointing upon you. Praise the Lord. There's a difference between anointing upon you. Anointing can come upon you and go up, leave you for different reasons. Praise the Lord. But the measure of the spirit you have is the anointing you have within. That is the anointing that is a teacher. That's the one who's responsible to build you up as a Christian. He's the one who speaks to you. He's the one who takes the word and interprets the word to you and converts the word into life, into a law in your heart. It's that same spirit the Bible says that writes the epistles. He said, my New Testament is not an epistle written right upon stone with hands, but written by the Spirit upon fleshly tablets of the heart. Praise the Lord. So the Holy Spirit is the one who conveys this message. He said, that which we have from the beginning, we've heard, we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. So when you've looked upon it, these are places of depths and in relating with the Word of God. There's a place where you can look steady upon the Word. It means that the images of the Scripture, of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost can take your heart and imprint those images in your heart. Amen. And you can hold it and carry it and live by them. Then there's now a place where you can now begin to handle them. It means that you can now begin to walk or work, praise the Lord, with what you have been looking upon. Is a progression. So when the Bible says, oh, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, you know who Jesus said that those things to? He said, there are many who will come to me in my name. Father, we have done this and we have done that. We've done so many works in your name. Praise the Lord. So those people who did works in his name, it wasn't that they went to win me Babalawo to do anything. It wasn't that they are using demonic power. It means really, it's really possible to do things in his name by the anointing of the Spirit. Amen. Because that working of the Spirit upon you doesn't have much to do with the internal work of God in your heart. It's good for us to be able to separate these things. Otherwise, the growth that needs to happen within won't happen. He said they will come and say, we've done many works in your name. But what will he say? He said, depart from me. Though you were working, but you are a worker of iniquity. You workers of iniquity. Why? For I never knew you. Praise the Lord. So you get to a place where you can work properly the works of righteousness when you've been able to look upon the word. Now it says, we've looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. So they've seen that eternal life. Amen. Amen. This was a man like us. So they journeyed to a point where this spiritual, seemingly intangible life became a reality to them. Since the life was manifested, we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, and that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Praise the Lord. So it says, we are writing out these things to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. So not only do we have that fellowship, but our writings are able to bring you into that same fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. So by interacting with this word, we can come into communion with the Father. and with the Son. And this is what Christianity is really all about. Right? It is about, it's one thing to believe in Him, praise the Lord. But then after you've believed in God, which all of us have, the next phase and what God expects of us is knowledge. To begin to know Him in a real way. And the way we will know Him is by yielding to the Spirit of God, who will, through what is written, like He said, now bring us into that fellowship and communion. And fellowship happens by opening of the eyes, by light. The more revelation of Him you have, praise the Lord, the more tangibility you come into. So, God wants us to take the ministry of revelation very seriously. Revelation of the Scripture. Revelation. He wants us to take it very seriously because only through revelation are we going to have advancement spiritually. Praise the Lord. Someone who is spiritual, who is mature spiritually, is not the believer who has so much command of the power of God. I don't know if you get the picture. There are believers who have gained so much command of God's power because they sow themselves into that area, into how to use the anointing, maybe how to, you know, stand and pray our faith and open doors and get things done. So in general, we see those people as giants. Giants are people who can do many mighty works in God's name. But that's not the measure. That's not how God measures Christians. In God's eyes, someone who has grown is someone who has... They measure you by your level of communion, your level of fellowship. How much awareness of God, how much revelation of God do you have in your soul? And in the end, that is what will demand, will determine what our reward will be. That's what God, when God wants to reward us, He rewards us not by how much things we've done with His power. There's no reward for that. It's how much have we been transformed in our likeness. How much of Him have we become? Praise the Lord. I pray that the Lord will begin to open our heart to these things and just pull us closer. I pray that God will give us more clarity. More clarity. There's so much which, Paul said that there's so much I would have said about, you know, you are dull of hearing in Hebrews chapter 5. Since that you're dull of hearing, because at this time when you ought to be teachers, you still have need. I will teach unto you the first principles of Christ, and you have need of milk, right? Not of strong meat. But the Bible says that strong meat are for those who, by reason of use, right, have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. There's an exercise that we need to have. And the Lord, Holy Spirit, will bring us to that place. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank You. We worship You this morning. We don't take anything for granted. We thank You for every time we spend in Your presence, because it's a time of redemption. Thank You because You Yourself commanded us that we should walk circumspectly, not as fools, but we should redeem the time, because the days are evil. Father, in this evil day, Lord, we thank You for every opportunity we have to congregate. See how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in love. It's as the oil upon the head of Aaron flowing down to his beard and to his skirts, as the dew of Hermon upon Mount Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. Father, in this kind of environment, that's where You command blessing. Father, we ask for real blessings. Bless our soul. Make us fat. Enrich us. Thank You, Father. We worship You this morning. We give You all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You dwells between the cherubim. Shine forth. You dwells.